On this episode of Universal Orlando Explorers, we give you our must-watch list for experiencing attractions at Universal Orlando. Join us as we explore Universal Orlando. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the Universal Orlando Explorers podcast. I'm Kobe.
I'm Holly.
And together, we're going to explore everything that Universal Orlando has to offer. Or I guess more specifically, we're going to explore everything today that Universal Studios has to offer, but not that Universal Studios, the Universal Studios that makes the movies, right?
Oh yeah?
It's complicated. The branding's complicated. There's a lot going on.
A little bit, yeah. Some of it's a little redundant.
But yes, what we're talking about today are the movies or the TV shows, the kind of everything in between that accompany most of, but not quite all, of the attractions at Universal. But before we do that, Holly, where can everyone find us in social media?
Check us out on Facebook and Instagram, as well as Twitter.
Yes, please interact on Twitter. Right now I have 3 people who interact with me on Twitter, so 4 people would be great. That would be a 33% increase for those keeping score at home. In addition to those things, you can also find us on Patreon. When you become a patron, you receive monthly AMAs. It would be great if this month someone did the A so that we could do the other A. You also receive a birthday shout out, a thank you for becoming a patron shout out. So that's 2, again, if you're keeping score. And you also receive what, Holly? A
sticker?
Yes. Have you sent out stickers?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So
you should be getting them soon. Yeah, I did it like really recently.
So. Including the one person who's always asking about the stickers?
Yes.
That's a win. All right, let's dive into the episode. So what we're basically going to do today is we're going to go around both parks and we are going to highlight either the movie or TV show, maybe a couple specific episodes or moments for the majority of the attractions in order for you to enjoy them the most. So, for example, like an obvious one, we have E.T. at Universal Studios. We're going to talk about the fact that you should probably go see E.T. Simple enough?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's get it rolling. Where are we going to start first?
Let's start at Studios.
All right, so before we do that, oh wait, you said Studios? All right, yeah, perfect. What attraction are we going to start with?
Oh. I usually like to start at the beginning of the park, at the front of the park. So let's do Despicable Me, Minion Mayhem?
Yes. So what I would watch for Despicable Me, this is actually kind of in-depth. I would definitely make sure that you watch the first Despicable Me movie. I think that sets up the Minion Mayhem attraction really well, right?
Yeah, for sure.
However, would you add anything to that list? I'm thinking of a big one. So technically, it's 2 attractions because now we have Villain Con right across the way.
Oh.
So I'm kind of blending it because it's like the same properties. You know what I mean?
Right. Now it would be. Which movie are all the villains in? The most recent one, right?
The new Minions. Right. Rise of Gru.
Yes, yes. That's where the Vicious Six is in, right?
Yes. If you haven't seen it's called Minions Rise of Gru. If you haven't seen that, you probably won't understand fully the plot of the Villain Con attraction. There is some like overlap with prior movies, but in order to understand the Vicious Six and kind of what they're all about, like I've seen, Holly, people are asking like, well, there's only 5 villains. Why is it called the Vicious Six? And that's kind of like a huge part of the plot of the new Minions movie. So that gets answered if you go and watch the movie.
Yeah, for sure. It's just, it's a really fun movie. All of them, really. We're big fans of the Minions and Despicable Me franchise, so that's always one that we try to watch when
before we go. You got 5 movies in that franchise? Yeah, you have Despicable Me 1 through 3, and then you have 2 Minions movies. Honestly, the only movies in that series that I don't think are particularly good, I think the original Minions is kind of weak, but they really saved it with the second one. They got away from, like, the Minions in the first Minions movie just kind of babble in whatever Minion language they have. And, like, they need actual English-speaking characters to kind of, like, carry the plot in those movies. And they added that in. It, it was a lot better. And then Despicable Me 3, I don't know. I'm kind of a sucker for this entire franchise. So even like the Minions movie, which I would rate the worst, is still like an enjoyable endeavor for me. But
yeah,
Despicable Me 3 is probably like the next weakest.
Yeah, that first Minions movie I think was a little tough because the Minions obviously definitely cater towards children and they have their own language. So it's not even like they could subtitle everything because children need to read pretty quickly, you know, to understand what's going on. And that could be tough for some younger kids, for sure. Although we enjoyed it. I think it was tougher for a younger age group there.
But I would say at minimum for these two attractions,
yes,
you need to see the second Minions movie and the original Despicable Me. All right, moving on. What's next?
Well, nothing really for Rip Ride Rocket.
You need to have seen music videos.
Yeah, I guess.
Any music video ever.
Maybe a little bit of The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, so we're going to go to New York? We're going to end in Hollywood?
Sure.
Oh, good. We can talk about my favorite franchise last. I would say regarding Fallon, I would be more or less familiar with just kind of some of the stuff he does. I don't think like you really need to be a huge Tonight Show person to enjoy the attraction.
No, because I want to say that we necessarily are. But we're like familiar with some of his like more popular skits. We know like who the Roots are. Kind of just like watching clips, even on like TikTok, Instagram, like
I was just going to say, this is the kind of thing that you could probably type into YouTube for like a compilation of Fallon's best like skits for The Tonight Show and you'll get the gist of it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So I don't think that one is so important to have seen anything really for. Like, I feel like you can go into that show and still kind of enjoy it, or that ride, I should say, and still enjoy it. Whereas with like a Despicable Me or some of these other franchises, I think you get a lot from having the backstory. Speaking of backstory, moving along into New York, we have Revenge of the Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of an interesting one, because when Holly and I were talking about doing this episode, one of the things that we were discussing was the difference in terms of like what these shows or movies bring to their attractions, because some of them, like one that we're going to talk about in a few minutes, put you as the rider in the middle of the plot of a movie, or they pick up a sequel, stuff like that. With Revenge of the Mummy, you're kind of in a weird place where you really only need to understand the characters, not so much the plot, because you're in the midst of the filming for an imaginary sequel.
Right, exactly. So it's good to know generally what's going on, but it's not like you're in the middle of the plot.
I would check out the first Mummy movie, honestly, just based off of the fact that it's a funny movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie for sure. That is one that we'll try to rewatch before we head down to Universal too. One, because it gives us an excuse to watch it.
Yes, it's one of our favorites for sure. What's your favorite scene? Or is there like a moment that you particularly like? I have mine.
Okay, you go first.
When the mummy, when Imhotep is approaching Benny and like cornering him, and he's just kind of pulling out the religious medallions and praying to anyone at any time, just trying to
press his luck.
Yeah, see if anybody will intervene and help him.
No, that is a really good one. I mean, I just really like that the movie never really takes itself too seriously. It's in between like two or three different genres, right? There's horror, comedy, action for sure, romance. You gotta have to love the constant bickering between Rick and Benny. Some of my favorite parts are just like the quick one-liners that the characters throw around at each other. One of my favorite parts, super quick, but when Imhotep is in his mummy form and he screams at Rick, and then Rick just kind of looks and screams right back at him. I don't know. It's all really funny.
It's one of those movies that feels like it makes fun of film critics.
Yes. Yeah. Like almost like of films itself and how serious they tend to take themselves.
Yes. So we're on a hot streak with 5 stars. You folks have been great with rating us. So our rating on Apple Podcasts is going up, and I am going to risk that in the event that there are any film critics in the audience. But film critics have to be the most disconnected from typical society people I've ever encountered in my life. We went to go see the Super Mario Brothers movie today, and audiences have it rated at like 95-96%, something like that, in Rotten Tomatoes. Critics have it at 59%. I'm like,
it's ridiculous.
It's a movie about a video game series starring a plumber who beats up turtles. Like, what are we doing?
Beats up
what
turtles.
The realism, it really doesn't capture the essence. Shut up. What are you talking about? Right.
Again, is it generally entertaining?
Animated, yes. Plumber fighting turtles. What are we doing? I feel like The Mummy does a great job of, all the sets are like over the top and everything just feels like so theatrical, but it almost feels theatrical in like a middle finger kind of way. So I like it because I don't really like film critics. What's up next? It's got to be, the Blues Brothers. So you have the Blues Brothers show in New York. Obviously, you should probably have seen the Blues Brothers movie. That would probably give you a little more context into what that's all about, as opposed to just people in fedoras and suits singing randomly in the middle of the street, right? That doesn't really play unless you've seen the movie. So moving on, we're going to go into San Francisco up next, and that is where we have the Fast and Furious franchise. So for this, I'd say like through... I haven't seen all the Fast and Furious movies. I've seen the first and I've seen the sixth, so I understand the Hobbs character, The Rock. I don't know. Look, if you haven't seen those movies, just skip the attraction. Just skip the attraction. If you've seen the movies, great. Go on the attraction. I actually think that this is like the one attraction where I would say that if you haven't done any prior research, don't bother and just skip it.
Yeah, it's not really worth going out of your way, I'd say, to watch the movies just to go on the ride.
No. Moving along. We have Diagon Alley, so we are now into Harry Potter territory. What do you think people need to have seen to get the most out of this?
I'd say at least see the movies that introduce Bellatrix to get the most out of it.
See, I'm going to say you need to kind of have seen the whole series. I think this one really requires the most.
Sure.
The most effort.
Oh, you know what? Actually, yeah, because that's when they break into Gringotts. Yep. You're totally right. Yes. So for on this side, yeah, definitely watch. I'd say, yeah, the whole series.
It's a big investment, which we can kind of talk about this a little bit. So every time that Holly and I take our big summer trip, so every summer we try to take a trip of at least like 5 days to the parks. We put together a list of what we want to watch before we go. And it probably takes us, what, like 3 weeks to a month?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we got stuff going on, you know what I mean? You can't just watch movies. Well, you have your summer off, but I don't. So we can't just kind of watch everything every single day. But we write down what we're going to watch and we tackle it over the course of, like I said, like 3 weeks to a month. The Harry Potter franchise definitely takes the most investment. We did that for this last trip. But I will honestly say that going into the trip, I was like lukewarm on Potter. I have read all the books. I read them when I was a kid. I've seen all the movies. I enjoyed the franchise. But I've talked about, you know, how crowded Hogsmeade is and Diagon Alley. And so I kind of like would breeze through them in the past. Now it's a little bit different. Having seen the movies again, it kind of rekindled my love for the franchise as a whole. And so I found myself spending a lot more time in Diagon Alley and not Hogsmeade because it's still a cluster, but definitely Diagon Alley. So I would definitely say that if you're going to do anything on this list, invest the time into the Harry Potter film franchise.
Yeah, I think especially paying real careful attention to the Diagon Alley scenes, where he's really like, especially in the first movie, he's really going through the shops, and just so much of that is replicated for you, right, in Diagon Alley. So,
and then at the tail end of the series, the scenes going into Gringotts,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a must. Stepping out of Diagon Alley and into World Expo, we have Men in Black. I mean, you should have seen Men in Black. That's pretty much what it comes down to. there's not a ton in terms of like retreads of characters. You know what I mean? You have like the Men in Black agents, but it's not like there's a ton with the aliens and stuff like that. So just, you should have seen Men in Black so you kind of understand the gist of what you're getting into.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Agreed. Just, yeah. It was,
yeah, just kind of being like familiar with the general theme and characters.
So up next we have Springfield, which means we have The Simpsons. Obviously, you should have probably seen The Simpsons, but I actually have a list of episodes that I think would make the most sense to watch so that you can kind of be economical. We should absolutely not try to binge all 34 seasons as we kind of head into studio. So here's what we got. So we got episodes from season 3 through 6. We have Flaming Moe, Homer at the Bat, and Black Widower from season 3. Season 4, Itchy and Scratchy the Movie and Selma's Choice. Season 5, Cape Fear. Season 6, Itchy and Scratchy Land and Homie the Clown. And just to kind of go into them quick, Flaming Moe's I think is really important because obviously you have the Flaming Moe at Moe's.
Right.
That being said, you will become immediately jaded when you see the color of the Flaming Moe in the TV show as compared to what they serve at studios. Homer at the Bat, I just think that that's just a good episode. It's a baseball episode. Watch it. Black Widower is good because along with another one that I mentioned, Cape Fear, it gives you a ton of insight into the Sideshow Bob character.
Oh, okay.
And obviously he's a huge part of the ride, right? Itchy and Scratchy the Movie, because there's a lot of Itchy and Scratchy in the pre-show.
Yep.
And
yep.
That also kind of couples with Itchy and Scratchy Land. But Itchy and Scratchy Land is also, you know, it's going to a theme park. It's making fun of Disney. It's definitely a good episode to get you into the mood to go to Universal Studios. Selma's Choice is also in the same vein. That's the one where they go to Duff Gardens. They have the seven Duffs, which we have the topiaries of. That's another really good one that just kind of riffs on, you know, theme parks in general. And then finally here, I have Homie the Clown. That gives you really good insight into the Krusty the Clown character.
Okay.
Who's obviously another big part of the land.
Right.
So that's the reasoning on that.
Pretty good. Yeah. A nice overview of a lot of the main points of the land there.
And now we can go to what's left of Kids Zone. We have, before we get to E.T., we have SpongeBob StorePants. And I actually would recommend checking out an episode or two of SpongeBob if you haven't. It's a pretty fun show. Obviously, Holly and I grew up watching it. But in general, it's a pretty fun show. That store alone, I think, makes it worth checking out a couple of episodes. It's a really, really fun vibe in there. And that sounds stupid. Like, it's a gift shop, right? But they have a lot of really cool Easter eggs in there. So I'd give it a look, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. Especially maybe from the earlier seasons where they're probably in the Krusty Krab. You get to see Mr. Krabs kind
of
being.
Don't watch any of that like post like 2015 nonsense. They like they went like Cartoon Network hard
a little
with
bit.
It. Like, they got like weird gross out gags and like.
Mm.
But like anything earlier, you should be all right.
Oh, yeah.
That's me sounding old. Then we have E.T., which you probably should see E.T. Otherwise, you're not really going to know what's happening, why you got an alien in the basket of your pedal bike, or really anything about what's going on. So you should probably watch E.T.
Yes, and this is actually one where I went on E.T. before watching the movie and after, and I certainly got much more out of it after watching the movie. Even like the closet scene in the gift shop, too. It certainly made a difference watching the movie.
Yeah, there's a ton of Easter eggs in general that I feel make watching the movie kind of worthwhile for that. So then moving into Hollywood, or right before we get to Hollywood, we have Transformers. All right, so I can kind of speak to this one from experience. I'd only seen like maybe like the first 45 minutes to an hour of the first Transformers, the one with Shia LaBeouf. And I was always kind of like lukewarm on this attraction. Like, it's not a bad ride. I definitely would rather have it than Empty Space, which I can't say the same for Fast and Furious. But it really just kind of didn't do it for me. And then, I don't know what it was, Holly, but I think like you went away for some reason last summer for a few days. And I ended up watching almost all of them. I think I'm on like The Last Night, which is like, I don't know, the fifth or sixth. And there's another one coming out in June this year. So I've seen pretty much all the Transformers to this point. And I got to say, it did influence my interest in this ride. It definitely made me want to ride it a little bit more. And now I recognize some of the Transformers. I don't understand why all the Decepticons have to be chrome. We don't all have to be chrome. Can we paint like a blue streak down some of them, like maybe like one of them wears like a hat or something? Like, I'm trying to figure out the difference between these people and it, or these machines. It's just not working, but it did make it a lot more interesting for sure.
All right, I'm gonna have to rewatch them then. I've seen the first one a bunch of times, but maybe I'll dive deeper in and watch some of the sequels.
Controversially, I don't even think the first one is the best one. I think the second one's really good. I think it's called Revenge of the Fallen. And if it's not...
One of them is called
Revenge of the Fallen. Shut up, I guessed.
Sure, sure.
Now we have Hollywood. And I would say, first, you have Mel's Diner. Or, sorry, Mel's Drive-In. I always, because it's a diner on the inside, I always think it's Mel's Diner. Mel's Drive-In. That is from a movie called American Graffiti. If you would like to see where that comes from, watch American Graffiti. By the same token, Sting Alley. I'm pretty sure that comes from a movie called The Sting. Again, if that's up your alley, check it out. And while we're on that subject of weird like storefronts or different little areas that kind of fly under the radar, you also have Louis Pizza, which is supposedly from The Godfather. You also have a made-up Corleone that's the proprietor of the restaurant. You can see it on the sign. That is not what the restaurant in The Godfather looks like on the inside.
Right.
So, no. All right. Can we transition back to Hollywood?
One more, too, if we're kind of heading around the park here of smaller nods. Watching Jaws to see Bruce near Shea Alcatraz.
That's true. Watching Jaws to see Bruce near Shea Alcatraz.
But those are all certainly like smaller kind of Easter eggs there.
So then going into Hollywood, we have the horror movie makeup show.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend giving a watch to some of the classic monster movies. We really enjoyed The Wolfman, and one of my favorites is actually The Mummy.
Yes.
The original Mummy.
Really
from,
good.
I think it's 38, 39. It's a really good movie. I would actually put it in my top five horror movies of all time.
Wow.
In terms of like my enjoyment and its influence and stuff like that, I understand that if you're a modern horror fan, it's different. It was different, you know, 85 years ago, but I still think it holds up pretty well. So yeah, that's definitely one I check out. I don't understand the love for Frankenstein. I never have. I had to read it in undergrad. I had to do a ton of work on it. I've seen the movie. Obviously, I just said I've read the book. I don't understand the obsession. I find it kind of dumb, but that's probably one I would give a look to. All of that stuff is featured in the horror makeup show, so give it a look. There's also nods to American Werewolf in London. They do a demonstration with the prosthetics and the mechanisms for the mask. That kind of does the face stretching scene. So there's stuff in there. I would just kind of give a look to that so you have an idea. And then there's a ton of stuff that goes on in the lobby in terms of they have like different displays. So they have a Chucky doll. They have a Velociraptor from Jurassic Park. They got the knife from Psycho. They get a bunch of stuff spread throughout the attraction. So if you've seen a bunch of the Universal horror movies, chances are you'll see a lot of Easter eggs that you're pretty interested in just in the queue. Or like, really, it's not a queue, it's a lobby, right?
Yeah, I would say so. And that you can even go in and check out even if the show isn't about to let people into. You can just kind of go in there and look around.
Yeah, so that brings us to the Today Cafe.
No, I think there's something a little bit before the Today Cafe.
I guess watch the Today Cafe or watch the Today Show if you want to know what inspired the name, I guess.
Nope, a little bit before that.
And so we're going to move over to Islands of Adventure now. Mm-mm. Is there something?
There is. You have to mention it.
I already talked about
the Come moment. On.
Go ahead.
The Bourne Stuntacular.
The Bourne Stuntacular. My personal recommendation would be to go and experience the Bourne Stuntacular. Just go and experience it. For what the attraction is. Don't watch the movie.
That's a pretty good point. I wouldn't say that you need to see. What is it? What's the first movie called?
The Bourne Identity.
Bourne, yeah. You don't need to see really anything from the series to appreciate the stunt show as is.
I am of the opinion that the movies make the stunt show worse.
Really?
Matt Damon's a horrible, horrible actor. I've never seen him in anything that he did a good job in. And for the record, when we say horrible actor, I am comparing him to other professional actors, not the people who put on A Christmas Carol at your local playhouse.
Oh, gee. Or like, yourself, right?
Like you got like you got Brad Pitt, who can act, or McConaughey, who can act, and then you have Matt Damon, who has the personality of an undercooked potato.
So what else, I guess, don't you like him in?
I don't like him in Good Will Hunting. I don't really like him in anything. He's always the same dude. He's just like, he just doesn't have a personality in anything, which definitely fits what the Bourne Identity.
That's what I was going to say, because he's supposed to be kind of like incognito, lying low and
But it's just boring. Like, I feel no connection. So I don't know if any of our audience has seen this, but you know Homeland?
Yeah.
You know Peter?
Yes.
Okay. Peter would have been perfect in terms of like a character. It's not even necessarily like that particular actor, but that is to me what like the Bourne movie should have been. Instead of just getting okay. this like super boring, awful, Jeremy Renner does it better. Sorry. Just, there you go.
All right.
And that kind of does it for studios, right?
Yep.
All right, take us over to Islands. Start us off here.
Islands. So I guess we'll start over in Marvel.
We can start in Marvel.
So actually, what would you recommend there? I'm trying to think because this is...
Yeah,
Islands so, is largely based on the books and comics versions of these characters, right?
So honestly, for the Hulk, I wouldn't really recommend anything. There's not that much. I mean, we saw the Ed Norton Hulk, and so we got the reference to General Ross and stuff like that in the queue. But otherwise, like, there's no Hulk. The Hulk's not right. on the Hulk, so you don't need that. Stormforce Excellitron, Storm's not there. Magneto's not actually there. You don't need it. Spider-Man, those 90s cartoons.
Okay, yep.
And then Doctor Doom, like the 80s and 90s cartoons.
That's right. And a lot of those we found right on YouTube.
Yeah, you can just, YouTube like Doctor Doom cartoon series. Boom, he's right there. Same thing with Spider-Man. The reason I say Spider-Man for the 90s is it's the style of animation that's in the Q video. That's 90s animation.
Okay, yeah.
I do think that Doctor Doom is kind of worth more of a look than Spider-Man. I don't know. With Spider-Man, you get kind of dropped into it and it's exciting and it's just an awesome attraction regardless. And I think it's better than Transformers in a lot of ways. So it kind of sucks you in. I don't know a ton about those characters, but I still love Spider-Man. With Doctor Doom, when I saw the cartoon, I definitely got a greater appreciation for the attraction as a whole. And I think that that one's so much more important because the anticipation is everything. Like putting yourself in the mindset of like, this is actually happening. He's really trying to like suck the fear out of me. So part of that is knowing who Dr. Doom is and kind of what he's all about.
Oh, that makes sense. I feel like most people kind of have a general idea of Spider-Man, right?
Yeah, that too. Like, it's pretty hard to go through life without knowing who Spider-Man is, right?
Yeah, he's that guy.
All right, continuing onward, we have Toon Lagoon. So this is kind of loaded.
Yeah, there are a lot of different references here.
So Islands of Adventure in general is based on comics or books. But this is about what you should watch, not what you should read. So a lot of these old school comics were made into cartoons, especially in the 1980s. You can find a lot of them. When you look at the stores, you have Beetle Bailey, Hagar, Kathy, boo. You can look up cartoons for all of them. Obviously, Popeye, big TV show.
Yep.
Plenty of stuff that you can look up on YouTube and find him. I do think a must in order to fully enjoy the attraction, Dudley Do-Right's Ripsaw Falls, I would check out some Dudley Do-Right cartoons. Because I hated that ride. I hated it. And now I actually enjoy it, even though it's a pretty violent ride. I just get beat up on it. Yeah. But having seen the cartoon, I've probably seen like 15 episodes or so of it. It's a lot more enjoyable now having the context of who this character is.
Sure.
Not the live action movie with Brendan Fraser.
Okay.
That's a thing. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, he did a live action in the 90s, I believe.
Oh, wow.
But not that. The original cartoons.
Okay. So maybe some of that and a little bit of Popeye at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like Blondie has a cartoon, like a animated cartoon. There's a lot of them, but in general, I would at least make sure to have seen Dudley Do-Right.
Okay.
Maybe a little Popeyes, like you said. Up next, we have Skull Island Reign of Kong. For that one, this is important. So you have the movie Kong Skull Island, and you have the MonsterVerse with Godzilla and all that. None of that's going to help you for this attraction. They have nothing to do with each other. That Kong is like as big as a mountain. The King Kong in the Reign of Kong attraction is based on Peter Jackson's Kong, which is from 2005, I believe. It's a completely different thing. That movie, I think, is a must watch, or at least certain scenes are a must watch. Like, honestly,
yeah.
Skip the first hour. It's just like nonsense on a boat. But when they actually get to the island and they start taking people out and fighting with the natives and Kong showing up, the first view that you get of where the natives live is pretty much that mountain backdrop that you see
right
at Universal.
Yeah, so that was huge. It definitely gave us more of an appreciation for the queue as well with the woman, right? Who's in there kind of like casting.
Yeah, I still don't know what her role is. Are we calling her a shaman? Is that?
I don't know.
Medicine
woman? I
didn't
want to say anything.
I don't know.
But
I'm not trying to be offensive. I don't know her job title.
No.
If anybody in HR wants to send us over what she does, let me know.
Sure, sure. But she's featured in the movie. I'd say even the, I don't even know what to call them, the giant worms with teeth in the ride video.
That's fair. Right. Most of like the monsters or whatever, the creatures in the ride are from the movie. So
yeah,
that's a good one to have seen. I wouldn't bother watching the whole thing.
No, we didn't, I don't think. It's a long movie.
Yeah, that first hour is so unnecessary. The middle part's a really exciting part. But the problem is like I wasted like an hour watching them dance on a boat.
Right. Once the action gets going, it becomes interesting. But otherwise, it's okay.
Then we go into Jurassic Park next.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that kind of self-explanatory. I would want to have seen Jurassic Park and Jurassic World.
Right. I want to say you need to watch 2 and 3 for Jurassic Park, right?
I mean, I would recommend watching all the movies because they're great.
Yeah, but generally.
But those two.
Yeah.
Because you obviously have the Velocicoaster, the pre-show is kind of tied directly to the movie. And then with Jurassic Park, that's what the land was originally based on. So you kind of need to have seen that. You have the Discovery Center, all of that. Even the river adventure, if you've read the book, kind of similar. If not, I mean, it kind of follows the same beats of the movie. Like, things go wrong, dinosaurs try to eat you, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think that too, especially seeing Jurassic Park, kind of gets you in the mindset of the time frame of the movie, and that it's a little more of the like 90s style.
Yeah, and there has to be some suspension of disbelief because everything's blended, which in the movies is not. But
yeah,
that's okay. You can suspend your disbelief and enjoy it.
Yeah, you kind of have to. And it's fine. Don't take it too seriously.
We don't really have to talk much about Hogsmeade because we already kind of discussed Harry Potter. Watch it. Lost Continent, there is nothing.
No.
Lost Continent is an original land. There's really, I mean, I guess if you want to look up like mythology, go for it. But there's actually nothing there that's really, you know, necessary to research or even possible to research. So that brings us, we're at the end here, right? We're at Seuss Landing. Because there's nothing in Port of Entry either. It's another original land. So it's Seuss Landing. This is kind of tough.
Right. Because I know the Cat in the Hat movie wasn't all that great.
No. Oh my God. No. 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 So this might come across controversial. The Dr. Seuss movie adaptations are trash. The Grinch is a solid movie. Jim Carrey version.
Yes.
Outside of that, like, I don't think they did a very good job with The Lorax. I don't think Horton Hears a Who was all that good. The new Grinch, the one with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did that with Illumination.
Yeah.
That was not a good movie.
No, it's tough because the original was really good.
See, I disagree. I think that it could have been its own thing. So the one with Jim Carrey is very like Tim Burton. And that's a kind of style that that's the kind of style that a lot of people love, but also a lot of people hate. That's a polarizing one. There aren't a lot of people who sit in the middle on the Jim Carrey Grinch. So they could have just done an animated movie, made a solid one, and people would have liked it, but they just didn't. They kind of just made trash.
Yeah, it was a tough watch.
Because, right, we watch that.
Yeah.
We like animation. We love Illumination. We like Secret Life of Pets. We obviously like the Despicable Me franchise. So it wasn't like we were going in it looking for there to be a problem. I wanted it to be my new favorite Grinch. It just wasn't.
No, that's
but
true.
Honestly, like Seuss Landing, are there cartoons? Yes. Are there live action movies? Some. It's still a book land. I think that one is more literary than any. You got to read the books.
Yeah.
I know this is about watching stuff. You got to read the books.
For sure. At least, I know the Cat in the Hat ride is pretty much a reading of the book.
Yeah, that is the book.
Yeah. So be familiar with that book then.
But I think that's pretty much it, right?
I'd say so. I'd say on a side note, in order to enjoy the escape room there.
I was thinking the same thing. Go ahead.
That you should be familiar with Back to the Future then.
Yeah, whatever. Definitely Jurassic World though.
Yes, and Jurassic World as well.
Then as far as meet and greets, there is Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Holly doesn't like Scooby-Doo. Be familiar with that.
It's not that I don't like it. I'm just not as big of a fan as you are.
I'm a huge fan of Scooby-Doo. I love Scooby-Doo.
The Madagascar penguins,
the Madagascar characters in general.
Gloria will be out sometimes.
You have Beetlejuice. You also have Shrek.
Yep. Shrek still hangs out.
Yeah, he's near the media center now most of the time. And I'm sure there are others. Obviously, you have all like the superheroes, but we already talked about them. So that's kind of what I'd look out for. As always, thank you all for listening. Reach out to us on social media. We already talked about Patreon and the social media options and all that stuff. Thank you all for listening. And as always, Safe travels, explorers.